Welcome to A Voice for Creators. I'm your host, Daniel Norton. Well, it's been a while. I feel like the last few episodes, I say that at the beginning of each one. And as I mentioned before, I'm going to be doing this podcast more sporadically as I figure out where I'm going and what I'm doing with it, where I want to go, et cetera, et cetera. And I've actually wanted to record this one for a couple weeks now, but I had a bit of a cold and my voice was shot. So I was trying to save it for things that I needed to do, which maybe isn't an entirely different topic for a podcast. But so first of all, I went to Imaging USA. Now, Imaging was pretty amazing. I'm not sure if anybody who listens to the podcast was at Imaging, but it was very exciting for me. I hadn't been to a photo convention in a while, and I hadn't taught at a photo convention in probably, I think it was pre-COVID, maybe. I think that was the last time I did. I think I did WPPI. And then there's been a couple since then where I've kind of been on the list and I just didn't do it or whatever, but I just didn't do it. I think I had lost my motivation to do it. I was trying to figure out what I really was gaining from it, right? I mean, obviously, when you teach at a convention, they pay you. So I was gaining money, right? But it's usually not that much money when you factor in you got to travel to them, you know, it takes your time. It's certainly not as much money as you'd make if you were doing a photo shoot or something, right? So it's not, you don't do it for that reason, right? You teach at conventions for any number of reasons. One would be, which is the reason why I like to teach at conventions, is because I like to interact with and see the people that follow me in other places because I do so much teaching, you know, online. Basically, I have the YouTube channel, right? And I have my YouTube channel and then I'm on Adorama and lots of people see those videos and lots of people interact with me via that way. So it's nice to kind of see people in person. You know, you get different kinds of conversations going. There's a certain energy. But at the same time, sometimes it can be not that fun. You know, you go to these things, you're kind of rushed. You're doing the best you can to teach something especially if you do it in a booth, you know, the booth demos, you're there and you want, you know, it's great. It's like, there I am in a booth and I'm teaching something and cool people are walking by and, you know, dropping the drink on your feet. No, not really, but you know, it just, you get that idea, like you're some kind of street busker, which, that's also very interesting to think of it that way. But, you know, basically that can be the situation. And I had experienced different conventions and had various degrees of that. Well, Imaging was very different for me. Number one, I was selected to teach on a large stage. So this is definitely the biggest stage I've ever taught on. Even when I did the biggest one that I did for Adorama, when Adorama did their own thing, it wasn't this big. And I did one at Photo Plus 1 year for Shamira. And it was kind of on the floor, so I guess there was a lot of people there, but it wasn't like people sitting there. So this was pretty exciting to do such a big class, and also maybe a little intimidating. I don't know. And in addition to that, I did do a booth demo, and all of these things were much better than past experiences, or maybe just how I remember past experiences. You know, sometimes when you're looking back at things, it's hard to always see the positive of it. Because again, I love going to conventions to meet and see people. But again, if you're kind of jammed into this little booth or you're doing this quick demo and you don't really feel like you're able to reach people, it's hard. But here, I was able to. So first of all, there was a lot of great things going on here. Number one, a couple of my buddies, well, one who I see all the time, which was Seth. I don't see him all the time, but and another one, Joe, were there and they were teaching. And I hadn't seen Joe in a while, and he's always inspirational. And we basically were like a trio, like we helped each other out. Joe had a demo the first day. He was in a huge room. And it ended up with both me and Seth on the stage helping him out with his demo. And that was really fun. And then we like hung out and had dinner. And then then I did my demo in the morning of the next day. And Joe was there at the beginning, but then he had to go off to do something. But Seth helped me with my demo, you know, to be in the, if you ever watch any of the Adorama stuff, he's like my DJ. And that was really fun. And then I helped Seth with his demo in the evening, which was really kick-ass. So, well, I don't know if I get an adult warning because I said that, but it was really good. Seth knocked it out of the park, created a really interesting, fun image. And it was pretty inspirational to see that because I think a lot of times when we do these demos, and it's funny, I actually talked about this a little bit when I did the Coffee with Creators on Adorama, where like sometimes you think you're supposed to do a certain thing, so you actually hold yourself back a bit. And what I mean by that is I think my demo went really well. I decided to do what I think is, what I know has been my philosophy for the last year or so, although I'm still struggling to get rid of stuff because I'm a photo hoarder. But I realized that I just don't use most of the stuff I have, and I just don't need most of the stuff I have. So I've been trying to minimalize my gear. So I did a demo on that, basically an entire studio in a bag, and I really did stick to it. I literally, my laptop was in there, my camera was in there, all the cables. I took tiny little light stands. Like literally I used nothing that was not in that bag. And I went up on this stage and walked through what was in there, what I thought was important, and why I packed each item and what you could do with it. So we created, you know, essentially kind of standard portraits, but in different ways. You know, and while it wasn't the type of image that was going to knock you out of the park, right, like Seth did, it was the kind of thing that was more practical. And that's generally what I like to do when I do these things. I think you've got, there was like 600 or 700 people there. They're professional photographers of various degrees trying to improve their craft. And when I'm teaching to those kind of people, I want to show them things I've learned as a professional, you know. And it used to be that we would be able to travel with four and five cases of equipment with a couple of assistants. And, you know, it, man, back in the day, they would charge, there was a special photo rate for gear. It was like something like, you know how you pay like $50 for an extra bag now at the airport? It was something like $10 compared to like $30 for like a regular person. So you would go with this overweight gear and it didn't cost you hardly anything. And then, you know, time went on as it is. The gear got smaller and better and more efficient. Prices got higher for things, so we started working smaller and smaller. And now I can more or less fit. I mean, really, if I was doing an assignment, I would have put my laptop and my camera in a different bag. But really, I can put everything in a bag that fits in the overhead of an airplane. It's crazy to think that. You know, I got in my car and drove. I'm from New York, if people don't know that. And I drove down to Kentucky, which was a fun trip. It was really nice to just be in the car for like 12 hours or something like that, listening to music, kind of being in my own headspace, getting myself there. And then we got there and it was just a really great convention. It felt like a rebirth almost, you know, like here I am. I've been like, you know, don't call it a comeback. That's my LL Cool J impersonation. But it just felt really good. It's not like I haven't been doing demos, but I hadn't anything like that. And it was just very, very nice to get up there and do it. So I was pretty psyched about it. I met a lot of great people, and it really did kind of pump me up a little bit. And I think this is the reason why I want to talk about it is I think that what happens to us sometimes is we see something. So maybe not everyone, but this is how I am, and I'm guessing other people are like this as well. Even though we are familiar with something, we've got this friend that we don't see that often, right? But what we've connected with them, they're a good friend of ours, and we don't see them for an extended period of time, maybe a year or more. And when you first go to meet them again to hang out, it's like weird, like it's uncomfortable. You feel like, is this going to still be the same? Is it still going to be good? Am I remembering something wrong? Is it not what I remember? Is it, what if this is terrible? And then not only did I have a bad time, but now all my old memories are going to feel like they're false. And that's kind of how I felt. Like I was like, is this just going to be not good? And is this going to be just, you know, unfun, you know? And, you know, and again, not so much because I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to pull off the demo. As I said, I do them all the time. I'm not really that concerned with that part of it. I think that I've done enough of these presentations that I have a feel for how they should go. And, you know, I've been a professional photographer for my entire life. You can't put much in front of me that I won't at least be able to handle on some level. So I'm fairly confident there. So these things don't bother me, but it was more like, what if the experience wasn't there? What if I did it and it just didn't feel the same? So I'm happy to report that it not only felt the same, it felt better. It was very invigorating. I did apply for next year, so hopefully I will get selected again. My understanding is you can do 2 years there, and then they skip you for a year or two because they want to have different speakers, which is pretty cool. Next year it's in Texas, though, which is, it's far away to get to Texas. Probably to fly if I do that. But yeah, it was really great. And I was very excited about it and motivated. And like I said, I wanted to podcast about it, but I was having issues. Actually, one of the reasons why I was having issues was because like a fool. So if you don't know, I mean, if you're just randomly, the only thing you listen to is my podcast, so you only really have this, you probably don't know this about me, but I've got pretty bad asthma. And generally when I travel, I take like a HEPA filter with me and I put it in my hotel room. But like a fool, I didn't take it with me because I haven't had issues in, you know, the last 4 or 5 months. So I was like, not going to worry about it. Well, that was problematic, and it was pretty bad. Whatever cleaning stuff they used in that room, it really affected my asthma. And it was tough for me to basically, when I got home, I was like, yeah, kind of laid out a bit. You know, I mean, I could still do stuff, but I was not talking a lot. And anyways, that's a little personal, a little note there. So if you hang out long enough, you get the personal stuff. But yeah, so that's kind of that. But I did want to talk about one other quick thing, although this is already 10 minutes, but I don't know when I'll get a chance to record if I don't do it now. And like I mentioned in my previous episode where I was talking about doing a bunch in one day and spreading them out, I feel like that just feels false to me. So I'm just not going to do it. This is what I'm thinking about today. This is what I'm going to talk about. If I don't talk to you again for 2 or 3 weeks, that's just the way it's going to be. So I was on, for people who don't know more about me, I'm very involved in the gaming space, in the tabletop gaming space, not video gaming. All the video games are fine. They're just not my jam. Anyways, and I was reading a post on Twitter where somebody who had made a video used a piece of artwork in their video, I'm assuming a painting or a drawing. And apparently, and this is a big person, a big YouTuber, like somebody who gets, you know, who has over 100,000 followers, who gets 40, 50, 60,000 views on a video. And apparently the artist, I don't know if they weren't credited or whatever, but they reached out and they weren't happy that they weren't asked that their image could be used. Basically, this person posted and said, you know, I apologize, but they seem pretty upset about it. So I'm pulling the video down and I'm going to redo it. I'm going to do a new video. So if somebody is an artist and they want to be featured in this video, let me know. Which in some ways is kind of jerky. Like, really? Like, I don't know. It just felt very uncomfortable. But anyways, so I decided to look at the thread on Twitter because I like to look at art. And I was like, oh, I'll look at some art. And somebody posted something that they said, and again, I probably should have screenshotted it, but it made me mad. So I was like, they said something like, I don't have time to look around and see who created each piece of art and credit people or ask them. I'm going to use what I want. Artists should be happy that we even look at their work. It's not my obligation to credit them. So it made me think about how so many people think about the arts. There is a certain level of, I'm going to use a piece of art in a video. Let's say I've got 200 subscribers, or it's, you know, I'm crediting the person, I'm pointing out that I love their artwork, whatever. That kind of can fall under, well, first of all, I'm not even talking about legalities, but we'll use a legality term, fair use. You know, here I am, I love Frazetta's work, let's say. And I'm going to make a video about how much I love it, and I'm going to show it in the video, I'm going to talk about Frazetta. Cool. But when you cross this stage where you are creating something that makes money for you, and part of what you're using for that creation is somebody else's creation, you really have to rethink how you handle that part of it. Years ago, I was doing some project and I needed more budget, basically, because I was like, well, in order to do this, we're going to need somebody to do such and such. And the person, the client said to me, well, yeah, but you know, you could get somebody to do that for free. And I said, but this is a job. Like, this is for your company. And this is something that is going to be used to make you money. You're paying me money. I'm not going to have somebody work on my set for free. Even though I know, some of you are listening right now, may have been some of those people reach out to me all the time and say, can I come and work for you for free? Because I want to learn. And to that, I usually say, no. If I'm doing a job, a paid job, I am going to, whenever possible, pay people. That's what I'm going to do. And when we work for free, when we help each other out, when we do those things, is when we're doing non-paid stuff, right? When we're, or something that's just a tremendously low budget, right? Like if I go to my friend and I go, hey, I'm only making a few hundred dollars on this thing, but I really want to do it because I like this company. I want to support this cause. You don't mind giving me a hand? I really can't pay you. I'll buy you lunch, right? That kind of thing. You get that a lot, especially indie films, right? And that's cool. At least you're upfront about it. But when you're, I would call over 100,000 subscribers, 40, 50,000 views per video, that's a moneymaker. You're not making a ton of money. I mean, believe me, that's probably still only a few thousand dollars a month from a channel like that. But still, you are. And for somebody, and again, I'm not even talking about the original person that posted, because they took the video down because the person, you know, wasn't happy. And I respect that. It's the person who commented to say that people's art wasn't valuable. That just, you know, just rubbed me the wrong way. Because what does this person do for a living? Are they, let's say, maybe they're an accountant. I mean, are you going to do my taxes for free? You should just do my taxes for free. Why should you expect to be paid for that? You know, we are artists, and I'm not so hardline that I'll never work for free. I don't believe in the hired gun mentality, but I definitely think that we have to consider what we're doing as valuable. And even if we never get paid for it, there needs to be some kind of value associated. If we're doing it for a charity and they don't respect that what we're giving them is valuable, then they're not respecting us, you know? So if you are doing those kind of things, and I do, I often do charity work, I will not work for somebody who just expects that I should do it. And again, most charities aren't going to do that. So it's usually not a problem. It's usually your friends that, no, I'm just kidding, or relatives, right? But anyways, that was just, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It just was interesting. If you have something to say about that, I mean, feel free to reach out. You can send me a message. You know, you can jump on my Discord server. There's a link to that in the show notes. You're also going to find a link to my email. If you want to, avoice@dnphoto.com, if you want to send me a message, I might just respond back to you. I might read it on the show if you are okay with that. Or if you want to send me something for me to play, I will do that as well. If you want to send a voice message. Early on in the podcast, I requested that and some people did it, but it seemed like it fell off here. But it's definitely something that's viable if you have something to say, as long as it's, you know, I reserve the right not to play something. But yeah, I mean, you got something to say, let me know. I'd really be curious. And I hope this is helpful. I actually got, and I do appreciate, multiple emails from people over the course of the last month or so asking when I was going to do another episode. Because as I talked about in other episodes, and I talk about right now, there's not a lot of podcasts that just talk about this part of it, right? Being an artist, the philosophy, that kind of thing. So many of these things are based on technique or very strict business stuff. And I really want to bring back the talk about how this affects us personally and that kind of thing. So if you're interested in that kind of thing and you enjoy it, then please do let me know, because obviously it is cathartic, I guess, to just speak into the mic. But at the same time, it's nice to know that there are like-minded people who feel similar, or maybe who don't and want to tell me why. I guess we'll leave it there at almost 20 minutes. I thought this was going to be a 5-minute podcast. So there you go, right? Get me talking. Please do check out the Discord. There's lots of great people over there. Obviously, you can jump on my YouTube channel as well. I'm not as active there lately. I've been trying to change the format there a little bit again. Again, I know that, did I say again twice? I know that if I do a bunch of how to use a softbox videos, I will get views, but I just don't want to do it. So I'm trying to find something that's a compromise where I can actually get people to watch, because again, I'm putting the effort in and I feel like I'm reaching people, but at the same time, I'm not just, I had somebody say the other day that they liked my channel because I wasn't thirsty. So I'm going to try not to be thirsty, and I'll talk to you soon.